Welcome to the GBC Big Three podcast, a weekly podcast where we sit down and unpack three big questions raised from our Sunday sermon. Or at least that's what we normally do, but this week is a little bit different. If you've been meeting with us, whether online or face-to-face on our Sunday services, you would know that our current series is titled The Space Between. Our church community is in a time of transition and lots of changes, and we wanted to take an opportunity to sit down and talk through some of the big things that are going on for us as a church. Many of you would have heard this past week that Jodine Watling, one of our associate pastors, has resigned and will be moving on from GBC. And this is in the wake of some other big staff changes. And so we wanted to take this opportunity to kind of look at that internal stuff that's going on for us as a church and just flesh it out, give you guys an opportunity to hear some of the thought, some of the future direction, and hopefully answer some of the questions that you have in this uncertain time. So I've got two very delightful and important people here with me. First, I have Roxanne Lawler. Welcome, Rox. How are you going?
Very well, thank you, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for being here, my friend. And we also have our fearless leader, Mark Rader. How are you going, Mark?
I'm doing well. I was wondering who the two people were going to be. I thought it might have been Rox and Sam, our producer. So I'm glad I got in.
Yeah, well, you know, I just wanted to throw you a bone.
You're technically with three people.
Yeah, there is someone in the room with us, but that's he right. shall remain nameless. So listen, normally we would have questions that our community has submitted over the Sunday services. We don't have that this week. We're just kind of going to shoot the breeze and start, you know, fleshing out some of the thoughts and some of the things that we've been working on as a staff in amongst all the changes in this space between, dare I say. Rader, do you just want to get us started? Maybe give us an idea of the bigger picture of what's been going on for us as GBC.
Yeah, sure. I'll try to keep it short.
Please do.
I find one of the things that I've learned in leadership is that, you know, the only constant is change. And so, you know, we haven't really gone, I don't think we've ever gone more than a year without having some sort of staff turnover, whether it be someone moving on to another role or moving or retiring or, you know, stopping being a student pastor with us and becoming a non-student pastor with someone, whatever it might be. And so at one level, what we're going through kind of feels normal. At one level. I think what feels different for me is that we, for the first time in my memory, are losing three full-time staff members in a relatively short period of time. And so what that does, of course, is it throws a whole bunch of those really big roles up in the air a bit, and I think can feel a little bit unsettling. It feels a little bit unsettling internally, of course, because you're thinking, okay, we got to not only figure out how to cover those positions, and generally speaking, you know, that's never as simple as it might appear.
Yeah.
But it can feel dissettling, I think, unsettling for people in the congregation who are thinking, you know, what's taking place, what's happened, and all of those sorts of things. So I think, you know, in terms of the changes, that's kind of the biggest piece. So yeah. I'll kind of recap it for people and then give just a little bit more background. But Brett Robinson, who was our student pastor and operations manager, was appointed as the associate pastor at Wyong on the Central Coast. He was appointed there in August of 2020, but didn't start until January of this year. He starts in this weekend, I think, is his first Sunday. So, you know, we're excited about that. He was our student pastor, did a great job in ops, but this was a fantastic opportunity for him. So, you know, God bless.
And very much the direction that he felt called into.
Totally. So you love that idea. And then just at the end of December, the middle of December, Mark Coleman was appointed as the senior pastor at Ashfield Baptist Church. And again, you know, for Mark, that was a continuation of the work of God in his life, kind of inviting him into greater leadership. He and Nick Lee felt that was the right thing to do. And, you know, as I've said before, you know, I can't keep telling people to listen to the invitation of God and then say, except you, right? You know, so it's kind of a matter of going, well, yeah, God bless you. If that's where God's inviting you, off you go. And for Jodes, you know, I think the opportunity for her moving forward is a good one for her. And so I'm all for that. I'm all for, you know, I don't want any of my staff to feel like, they're not living their best life in that sense of doing what God's called them to. And so again, you kind of, you know, a little bit disappointed at, you know, there's an element of disappointment in all of those moves, but at the same time, like, it's an opportunity, so off you go. One of the things that we had been working on at the start of 2020, which we never really got to because of COVID. Was actually beginning the process at a CLT level and at a senior staff level of doing some rethinking about some of the senior staff job descriptions, because, you know, the role that we had appointed Mark and Jodine, and to a different degree Roxanne as well, had changed over the 5-6 years that they've been on staff, and so we wanted to kind of reassess it. So to some degree, all these changes come at the end of this long process of thinking and praying and discerning and thinking and praying and discerning and talking and, you know, repeating over and over again, trying to figure this out. So again, I think for people in the congregation, this might feel like, oh, this is all sudden, but, you know, I guess in the providence of God, I feel like we've been thinking this way for a year, you know, trying to think, okay, where are the most important areas that we need to be placing staff resources? Where's God inviting us to? How do we do that? We, you know, obviously didn't get as far as, I mean, to some degree, I'm glad we didn't resort it all out in March.
Yeah.
You know, only to have to resort it again now. So, but it's been a long process. That might be too long of an introduction, but I hope it gives people enough background.
No, I think it's good. I think it's helpful that you name that sense of, I think, you know, yes, internally there have been a lot of conversations, a lot of thinking through and praying about what the future looks like for us as a leadership and as a staff. But I think the reality is for a lot of people in our community, it feels like we've ripped a band-aid off a little bit. Rox, like I'm keen to get your input. Like, what's your sense of how this might be, how our wider community might be feeling about all these changes, this space between, to just plug our series one more time. I'm sure I'll do it plenty in this episode. But yeah, like, what's your sense?
Yeah, look, I think I've been involved in ministry organizations for quite a while now. So I've seen a lot of, you know, staff come and go and God calls people onto to different things, into greater things and into retirement. So I personally don't feel too concerned by staff shifts. For me, it's very normal. It's an everyday thing. And actually, I think we should be expecting that God does bring people in for a season, raises them up, trains them up, stretches them, and then, you know, ricochets them into this new future.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a good, normal, right thing. It's about kingdom growth. It's about developing people. So I guess I would hope that the church would look at it through that lens and to just have those eyes of faith and to say, look, God is in this. You know, this is the Lord's church. He's building it. He's in control. And he has a plan for, you know, our individual lives as well as us as a collective.
Yeah.
And so just to rest in that, like nothing takes God by surprise. You know, he's got a good, right plan, and we can really rest in that. And I guess I've seen that in the past, and I just know that I'm going to see that in the future.
It's like we haven't lost people. God's just redeployed them into another area of the kingdom.
It's good.
Yeah. And if I can just kind of jump in, I think one of my senses of, like, part of my peace about this situation is partly exactly what you're saying. You know, there's a normalcy about shifting and moving. I know that, you know, like, I've been here quite a long time now, but my role has changed, so not frequently, but has changed over that time. So it still feels fresh and new. So I know that that's good for me to kind of be doing different things, learning new skills, all those sorts of things. So I think there's an element of that. But I think it's probably important to say, and I'm very happy for people who are listening to contact those in question and ask them whether this is true or not. But there hasn't been any relational basis for these decisions. You know, not to say that, you know, Brett and Mark and Jodes and I or the rest of the staff always saw eye to eye on everything, but we've been a really unified team. I've been really appreciative of the support and loyalty of the team that you know we've kind of gathered together, and there's no sense, and I think that's part of the reason why I'm at peace with it.
Yeah,
I don't feel like it's, you know, that there's been some sort of we couldn't work together and something had to give, and I'm glad it was this. Like, there's none of that, and I think that's pretty important, because I think, you know, when three full-time people leave, I mean, I'd be asking the question.
It definitely looks a certain way.
What's wrong with that culture, you know? And so I think while it, you know, it is, I'm not going to say unfortunate, but the timing's really close together. I think I can quite safely say that it's not because, you know, Jodes and I couldn't see eye to eye, or Mark and I just couldn't get along, or there were kind of fundamental disagreements about, you know, philosophies of ministry and all, like, and so I think that's important to state. And again, by all means, if you don't believe me, talk to Mark, talk to Jones. You know, again, we didn't see eye to eye on everything. Never going to happen. The only person who sees eye to eye with me on everything is me. but we all know that that's a problem, which is why I've hired staff. So, you know, I think that's actually part of my sense of peace as well. I don't feel like there's a busted relationship that's being left in the wake. So,
but I guess I just want to take an opportunity to acknowledge, like, again, and we've said it, we've had time to kind of reconcile this, think about it, flesh it out. But again, I'm fully aware that for our wider community, this has been, it can feel quite abrupt. Mm. And I think there are two things in particular that can make changes difficult in a church setting, well, within our context at the moment. I think one, you know, Rox, you're right. Like, I mean, you go to any workplace and staff shifts and changes is just a way of life. But church, you know, we've all got skin in the game, and church is more than a workplace. It's a community, it's a family. And so I just want to acknowledge the fact that for some people, that sense of loss over, you know, some really pivotal, wonderful, integral leaders in our church, you know, we're going to feel that. And, you know, I don't want to belittle that in any way, but I'm also fully aware that the context of COVID, and of course it's always COVID, it all comes back to COVID, but like it's stopped us from being able to have these conversations in a more kind of natural setting. You know, normally what this would look like is we would chat about it on, like, we'd announce it on a Sunday face to face, and then we'd all get an opportunity to kind of have a chin wag about it and shoot the breeze and drink a coffee.
Ask some of those informal questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think you're right about loss. You know, I remember reading somewhere that it's not that people don't like change. Mm. It's that they don't like loss.
Yeah.
And so, you know, again, for those who are listening, you know, you may have had a particular connection with, you know, Mark or Jodine or Brett, and maybe not with one of the others. Mm. And so, you know, when I say, oh, Brett's moving on, you're like, oh, I didn't even know he was on staff. And so, you know, like, I'm not feeling the loss in that sense. Or I didn't have a lot to do with Mark because I had more to do with Jodine. So I'm feeling Jodes' loss. Mm. So I think we need to acknowledge that there is a sense of loss.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important for people to recognize. And that's part of why we wanted to kind of have this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
To kind of just give a little bit of background to make some sense of some of that, but also to acknowledge that, yeah, there's going to be some grieving in this. And I think COVID, to your point, makes it more difficult.
Yeah.
You know, we tried our best to make sure that people could say farewell to the Robinsons, but it was kind of hard work to do because normally we rely on a Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, or a few Sundays. So even if I'm not going to be there the day that he's leaving, I can at least say good day after the Sunday before and say, hey, thanks so much and God bless you and all that kind of stuff. So I think that's helpful. Mm. Can I just kind of...
Oh, by all means.
Take the mic. How about
take
I do
the
that?
Mic.
Can I do that?
Oh, you're going to do it anyway, so that's
fine. Well, I agree with myself that this is the right thing to do. So.
He's seeing eye to eye.
I see eye to eye in this. I mean, I think one of the pieces of background, you know, the long conversations that we've been having is probably a useful segue into talking with both of you about the shifts in your roles.
Yeah.
Because that's part of the reason why it's the three of us chatting about this. So again, for those who are listening, you know, I started in youth ministry, and one of the, I'm not sure, it wasn't the first conversation I had with Carl when he was still the senior pastor here, but very early in my youth ministry tenure here, he asked me, how long are you going to be in youth ministry? At the time, I thought it was a ludicrous question. I'm like, I don't know, I'm in it for the next whatever it was. But it gave me the opportunity then to say to him, when I was done with youth ministry, is there another role? And that was really formative for me. And so I instigated that same conversation with Matt and also with Roxanne. And so both Rox and Matt and I, in different contexts, have been talking for a while about, you know, how long are you going to be in youth ministry and how long are you going to be in kids ministry and what might be the next step? And is there space here for us, for you to take that next step with this community of faith? And so, you know, both Matt and Rox and I have been thinking about this for a while.
Yeah.
And so, like, Rox, I might kind of just jump to you. Some of you may have seen the video that Matt and I did, just talking about some of the changes in his role. We'll come back to that maybe in brief so people get a bit of an insight to it. But Rox, like, just for those who are listening, tell us a little bit about your experience in kids ministry. Kind of how long you've been involved, and why are you so passionate about it?
I started teaching Sunday school actually when I was a young teenager, and I don't think I've ever really left it. I worked for Anglican Youth Works at the conference centres, being an outdoor guide, which I think Matt, you did as well, yeah. Back in Teen Ranch back in the day. And so I've always really been passionate about teaching the next generation about Jesus. Mm. I just think it's a crucial, critical, strategic part of the church. Mm. We're only one generation away from extinction as a body of believers, as a church. And so I really do think that it's a wise, strategic place to, you know, deploy resources, yep. to, you know, get kids young, get them know about Jesus when they're young. And, you know, if you can have somebody come to faith in their childhood, generally speaking, they're going, and it's a good, deep, real faith, yeah. they're going to follow Jesus all their life. Mm. And they'll be a disciple who makes disciples for, you know, 80 or 90 years. It's all win.
What's the statistic? It's something like 80% of people make a decision to follow Jesus before they're 18.
Yeah, and actually it's gotten earlier too. Yeah. It used to be 18, but now they think it's around 13. You know, kids are getting older, younger.
They're making those definitive decisions earlier.
A lot earlier. Love that. And so, you know, I'm always sort of joke that we should put 80% of the church resources into the kids ministry.
You kind of joke.
Not really. So, the problem is that Matt says the same about youth ministry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, that's okay. We'll split it.
It's 160% of our budget, so you're gone. And why is there a slide?
That's
right. Just because
you've also you've also been really passionate about families then helping parents in particular, but also grandparents. Mm-hmm. Disciple their children and grandchildren.
Yes, exactly right. And I think that's a biblical model. We should be, as the church, not usurping or replacing the role of the parent or the grandparent, the caregiver. We should be just helping them out, coming alongside them. You know, as a parent myself, it's my responsibility to teach my kids about Jesus and to pray with them and to read the Bible with them and to, you know, share what I know about Jesus with them. And I can't really give that to the 13-year-old leader, you know, on a Sunday to do. You know, it's what God has called me as a parent to do. Mm. So I think as a church, we need to be partnering with parents, and I'm really keen on pushing into that space a little bit more so that, you know, we're giving parents everything they need to help disciple their kids for life. Mm.
So if people are listening then, you know, and I've already kind of foreshadowed that there's a change in your role and that it's probably a move out of at least hands-on kids ministry. It doesn't sound like you're any less passionate about it, but can you just kind of talk us through the process, you know, like of our conversations, you know, like that whole, what's changed so that you feel like it's now a good time to actually kind of exit from hands-on kids ministry?
Yeah, I think it has been, it's been a tough year doing, you know, I've been puppeteering pretty much, you know, every week, me and my friends. But yeah, I think God is really calling me into a different level of ministry, and it doesn't have to be me hands-on. I'm really keen to see, you know, the next generation take this role on, someone who's very, very passionate about kids and about, you know, what they do and supporting families. And I'm ready to create a space for someone to just blossom and to shine in that. Mm. And I just noticed that, you know, if somebody's still doing that role, you know, no one steps up.
Yeah.
But if somebody moves away from that role, then there becomes this, you know, this open field for someone who is, you know, like a little tiny seedling to suddenly grow and become like a mature tree. And I would love to give someone that opportunity in ministry and to encourage them and mentor them and spur them on. And part of that as well is I've finished my theological studies. I'm, you know, studying counselling. I'm going to be accredited next year with the Baptist Association, which is exciting. And I'm just ready to, I guess, chart a new course and see what God has for me in that space. You know, I'm good with the new, I'm good with the fresh. And I just want to I guess, step into a different area of my gifting.
Yeah. And some of you are, again, probably unaware that Roxanne has been involved in the Aero Leadership Program for the last 3 years.
Yeah, about that, 3 or 4.
Has been one of their regional coordinators, so kind of working with a group of regional developing leaders within church and parachurch organizations. And so there's some a leadership capacity that I think it'd be good for us to use. Now, Matt, let me just kind of ask this a similar question to you. You're obviously still passionate about youth ministry.
Yeah.
What's been the shift? Like, what's brought you to the point where you kind of think, okay, now is the right time to move into another role?
Yeah, I think, you know, I mirror a lot of Roxy's ideas around, I looked around and I see a lot of potential in our young people, in the people that we have been investing in for years and building up. And I kind of saw myself as being the cork in the bottle. Mm-hmm. I know for myself, I haven't taken up positions historically because the person who was in them was kind of an institution in and of themselves. And I thought that they'd never leave. And so I left. So I think, you know, I definitely echo Roxy's heart in that of by me stepping out of this, it provides an opportunity for the next generation of leaders to step up into that position. I think I've also been on my own journey of what God has in store for me in my life. I came into this role thinking, you know, I'm only here to do youth ministry. You know, people would make comments about, oh, you know, are you ever going to, you know, be an associate pastor, a senior pastor, do whatever it is. And I'd laugh at them because I think that they're the most ridiculous human beings in the world. You know, like I was chipping away at Bible college because I thought it was helpful to have some theological understanding, but I didn't really see it as achieving any goal. And then God in, you know, as he tends to do with me, just kind of started to pull that away and strip that back and slowly reveal to me that his plan for me was much more than youth ministry. Mm-hmm. And I think I've had people, you know, including the people in this room right now who have kind of spoken that into my life and that God's used to speak that into my life. Because I think if I wouldn't have believed it myself, I think. And yeah, to just kind of, for me, it's about that whole, what does my leadership look like outside of youth ministry? And how is God calling me to stretch that and grow that and develop that? And what will the next season look like? I think, again, I came into this role thinking, well, I'm just going to work in ministry until this role is done for me. Mm-hmm. And then I'll go back doing what I was doing in social work and casework and all that kind of stuff. I was good at it. I liked it enough to do it every day. And now all of a sudden, I just don't see myself leaving ministry. It's just become the reality for me, I think.
And I think, you know, again, for those of you who are listening, I think, you know, my reflection on both Matt and Rox has been that they've got an enormous amount of capacity. My hope was always that when they chose to move out of youth and kids ministry, that we'd be able to offer them a role. And, you know, really until, you know, God opened an opportunity for Brett and then for Mark and then, you know, with Jodes, there really wasn't a lot of space to move. Mm. And so while there are some challenges with those changes, there's also, I think, some opportunities in that space. And so I'm pretty excited about, you know, what that might be. And I'm glad that, you know, at least initially, it looks like we'll be able to keep you here for a little while longer. So that's pretty valuable from my end. So we can't have everyone leave, right? You know, so then even I'll start asking questions. So let's kind of, I want to shift then to kind of talk a little bit about the roles that you'll be moving into initially. And I want to kind of give a bit of a disclaimer that this is not everything. So not every part of Mark Coleman's role is going to be covered in this conversation. Not every part of Jodes's role is going to be covered in this conversation. And in fact, not even everything in Matt and Roxanne's roles are going to be talked about here. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of additional conversations we need to have with the CLT and with the congregation as a whole. So that's the disclaimer.
We're still in the space between you guys.
Ooh, nicely done.
Intrigue.
Intrigue. That's something. Okay. So anyway, let me start with Matt's role. So when Brett told us he was moving to Wyong, part of his role was obviously the operations role. And so Matt and I began having the conversation about shifting to a part-time youth role, part-time ops. We added to that volunteer team leader. So Margie Robertson has started a day a week in that space to oversee all of our volunteer teams. And so Matt's role was going to be kind of threefold.
Yeah.
3 days a week in youth and young adults, along with Dylan Eastman, who's remained on staff as our youth intern for 2 days a week.
Bless him.
And bless him. And then doing the ops role and overseeing the volunteer, we've appointed Margie and we've appointed someone else.
Greg Williams.
Greg Williams. I just didn't know if I could say the name
yet. You can. He has accepted the role.
Right, he has. And he starts in a couple weeks' time. I'm trying to keep all my ducks straight. Apparently I can't. So Greg Williams is going to start 2 days a week. So that should make those roles kind of work. So that was the initial kind of move. And then Mark's decision to take up the role at Ashfield kind of accelerated that move. Mm. And so what we've, in kind of conversations with Matt, and have talked through this with the CLT, Matt will also take on the life group role. So life group and connect groups, along with, and that's not, you know, Mark and Brett had a role in that. Nicole Jones is our section leader, is still involved in that space, which is great. Mm-hmm. So that'll become kind of the initial role moving forward.
Yes.
Let me ask you how you're feeling about that at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm super excited. I think, I'm devastated that Coleman's leaving. But I'm excited and thankful for, I guess, the acceleration of my position into that space. I think that sharing of youth ministry with the volunteer and the operation stuff, I think I saw, because we were kind of doing that in term four of 2020, and I could see that youth wasn't getting the best of me. And I also, I wasn't sure how that plan was going to work full time. And I also, I think God was really, probably, you know, because he's God and he knew what was on the horizon, he'd really done a lot of work to kind of conclude that season for me. And so I actually feel a sense of closure moving out of youth ministry, and that season is finished is the wrong word, but it's been well-rounded. Mm. But these new opportunities I'm really excited about. They're really diverse, which I really enjoy. I like having a number of balls in the air that I'm juggling. I like the fact that each day will look relatively different for me. It takes me back to my old caseworker days where everything would change at the drop of a hat. And it has already, as you guys would well know, my days look very, very different. Yeah. I'm excited about that operations side. I'm excited to learn the inner workings of a church and how to run a church. I think that's going to be an amazing experience for me. I'm going to learn heaps. It's going to really stretch me in my leadership. Volunteer management, I'm excited for what that means for us as a church. Yeah. I'm excited about how that will really deepen and enrich a volunteer's experience when they find their place to serve here at GBC. It also helps us be really intentional in the way that we release and train and build up our volunteers. And then life groups, I'm excited because, I mean, I just recently became a life group leader. So, and I love it. I've got a group of young adults that I lead every Tuesday night and they're the best. And I know that that's a really pivotal part of our future direction as a church. And I love the fact that I get to be, on the boat steering that in some way, shape or form. So, I mean, the short answer to my long-winded response is, yeah, I'm really pumped.
And so that means that the first kind of position that we're going to be seeking to fill is not necessarily Brett's, and we've partially filled Brett's role, or Mark's, or Jodine's. The first role we're going to be looking to fill is actually a youth and young adults coordinator.
Yeah.
And that's already kind of in the works. Hopefully we'll be able to make that announcement soon. And that's kind of happening now. And then shifting to Rox's role, I think the passion for, families in particular is something that she and I you and I have chatted about it for a long time, really, about the possibility of moving you into more of a family's role.
Yeah.
And I think this kind of facilitates that. So moving you into the oversight of families within the life of the church, kind of everything from, creche and you know, preschool and you know, infants and whatnot, which you already do now, but will look to appoint someone probably 3 days a week in that role.
Yeah.
And you'll supervise them, supervise the new youth and young adults coordinator as well, so kind of covering all of that, as well as maintaining the supervision of Medwin, who oversees playtime and that kind of role. So that's kind of one part of it, and I'll get you to chat about that in a moment. And the other part, which is linked to something we mentioned a couple times over the course of 2020, was the possibility of developing a family hub in conjunction with Hopefield, which would be families oriented but community focused. And I know that Rox, you're very passionate about you know, our families in the community, as well as our families inside the community of faith. And so initially, and again, the disclaimer, we don't know exactly how this is all going to work out, but that feels to both Rox and I to be enough to get started with, being in on the ground level on developing the family hub, but also overseeing kind of our family ministry, which goes beyond just caring for our kids on a Sunday or whenever programs might run, but also supporting families. So you just kind of, you know, talk a bit about how you're feeling about that.
Yeah, I don't have as much clarity as Matt does yet.
It was the six-month head start we had with Brett.
Yeah, a little bit of that. Yeah. But yeah, look, that's so exciting. And God has a heart for families. You know, God has a heart for parents. He has a heart for marriages. And I think we as a church have that's a massive space we can speak into, that we can, you know, build people up. For me, it's a huge front door, that families, you know, the community hub space. Oh, you know, people are so hurting in our local area. Mm. We've seen that this last, you know, in 2020 with COVID, you know, the difficulty that families have had in just staying at home and being isolated. And we as a church can speak into that and offer a respite, a safe space, a place where they can just receive counselling and care, and then also hopefully connect them to the God who loves them. Mm. And that's so exciting to think that we can be externally focused as just a place of safety and health for people. Mm. And of course, for our own church families to help them, you know, come to know Jesus more, to, you know, build strong marriages, you know, the mental health space that really needs speaking into.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's so much ground to cover in that area. So that excites me. And also just, you know, the idea of developing leaders and building people up. Like, it doesn't have to be me being the practitioner. I can actually help people to be, you know, great at the ministry they do. And a passion of mine is to see gifting in someone and call it out. You know, I love to see that little kernel of, you know, you see that in somebody and to recognize that and to say, you know what, you have this gifting in this area, or you've got an interest in this area. Let's explore that together. Mm. So that kind of role that you're describing, it taps into a lot of my giftings and my passions, and I'm excited for what God has. I have no idea if it's going to look like that. and you probably have no idea if it's going to look like that either, Mark Rader. But, you know, like, you put your hand into the hand of God and he will lead you in the best place and use your gifting for his glory and his kingdom. And at the end of the day, that's what I want.
Mm. Yeah, and I think that, well, we don't know the specifics of that. You know, I think particularly the family hub is a little bit, it's very vague right now. All we know is that there's a fantastic opportunity to kind of make a therapeutic sandwich, shall we say, you know, where we as a community of faith are reaching community families in our community.
Yeah.
And then if there's a need for Hopefield, they step into that therapeutic space. And if they come out of that therapeutic space, they can come back into a community of faith. And so we kind of bookend the therapeutic work.
And prevention,
so
there's just, intervention, postvention,
all that kind of thing. All that stuff. I think there's enormous capacity and space for us to be involved. And so it kind of falls into that discipleship space for us. It falls into that evangelism space for us. Being more active in our community, extending the work of Hopefield. Like, it's just, it feels like it's got lots and lots of promise. And I think, Rox, you're probably the right person in that space.
Mm.
Ideas.
Yeah.
New things, getting them off the ground.
I like people. I'm pro people.
There you go. That'll probably help, I hear. So I think that's really exciting. That's really exciting. So again, just as a bit of a disclaimer, that's not everything. Those are not all the changes that we're making, but really wanted to kind of let you know where we're up to in the process. Obviously, one of the challenges and tensions is You know, we need to be making some decisions as a leadership. And so, you know, I've been keeping the church leadership team informed on kind of where we're up to, and they're comfortable with the decisions that we're making to this point in time. There are other decisions that we'll have to be bringing to the church, reporting on in a variety of ways, all of those sorts of things. So there's lots more to do. But again, just wanted to kind of give you a bit of a sense of, okay, they've got this, or at least they're thinking about it. They're working away at it. Things are taking place. And having something like this happen over Christmas just makes it a little bit more complicated because you know, everyone's away anyways. It's always hard to communicate changes in that period of time. But like, I'm really excited about, you know, the opportunity moving forward. I think it'll be great, you know, exploring what God's invitation is for us as a community of faith. And, you know, and I'm looking forward even to the journey of working out what else do we need to do? Because there is more to be done in that space. So thank you both for being willing to chat a bit about this. I think it's been, I hope it's answered the questions that are asked. I'll probably say this last thing before I hand back to Matt. If you're listening, you do have questions, like, I'm very happy to take them. So you can email us at the office. You can email me at mark.rader@gymeabaptist.org.au with a question, and I'll try to respond in the best way that I can. Really do want to try to keep the lines of communication as open as we can. So I don't want people to think that this is a bunch of secretive stuff happening behind the scenes. I do want to kind of lean towards transparency, but as I'm sure you can recognize listening, that it's not always easy to communicate that stuff. So just, you know, if you do have questions, by all means, hit me up. Happy to be engaged in those conversations.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for that, Mark. And you too, Rox.
Pleasure.
Really appreciate just having this open conversation that for our wider community, if you've felt anxious in this space between, I hope that this has kind of eased some of that anxiety. Or if you've got questions, I hope it's kind of answered some of them in some way, shape or form. But yeah, stick with us because, you know, things are changing. So thanks so much, guys. I just want to let everyone know the Big Three will be returning after Sunday, the 31st of January, when we launch our new theme for the year, Go and Make Disciples. So if you want to be a part of the conversation, make sure that you're at one of our Sunday services on the 31st of January and that you snap the Slido QR code before the sermon to get involved. Well, thanks for joining us for this week's Big Three and our deep dive into God's invitation for us all. Remember, there's no thought too small, no question too big.